Ephesians 6.
Verse 10 to 17, New Testament page 209. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of my God. This is the word of the Lord.
Jake, there's a lot of people here. We're coming to the end of Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to strengthen and encourage the churches in Ephesus and the surrounding area. And in today's passage, Paul is teaching us how we can protect ourselves from the evil one. He says we have to put on the whole armour of God. It's interesting to note that when we go through the pieces of armour, there's six pieces, five of them are for our defence and only one is for offence. Five for our protection and only one for attack. Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord. In the NIV, it says stand firm. And he uses this phrase three or four times, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the whole armour of God. Not just a wee bit, not just the helmet, not just the belt, the whole lot. Our strength against the devil and his minions is found in the Lord, and this is why we need to clothe ourselves in the armour of God. We can't fight evil in our own strength, but you know, we don't have to, because Jesus has already defeated Satan on the cross. Paul here is speaking to the whole church. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus. He's speaking to the churches in the surrounding areas. He's not speaking to individual people. And I think it's important to remember that, because people working together, a united church, is more forceful and more stronger than individuals fighting on their own. Think of a time when you've been in a situation and you've been frightened and anxious and worried and you didn't know what to do, and then somebody else comes alongside you and gives you that support. And that's the kind of thing that he's speaking about here. We need to work together. We need to be united in our work for the Lord to make us strong. He was also writing to people that had a lot of association with magic and the occult. They were not just fighting against physical things, they were fighting against spiritual ones as well. You know, I've heard people today say there's no such person as the devil. But we as Christians know perfectly well there is. The devil is alive and working, fighting against God. Spiritual warfare is struggles against disobedience, greed, lies, anger, and all influences that draw us away from God's truth and his purpose. So we mustn't underestimate the devil. C.S. Lewis said, there's two mistakes that we make about him. One is not to believe in him, and two is to give him so much attention. So we need to be aware that he's there and working against us, but at the same time, we don't want to give him a lot of attention. So for our own protection, Paul gives us the spiritual tools that we can work against spiritual forces. As we put on our armour every day, we'll begin to recognise things like deception and accusations that are thrown at us against the by the enemy, and we'll be able to respond with truth, righteousness, prayer, and faithful obedience. Now, Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. This has been mentioned before. And it was during the Roman occupation. And I'm sure Paul, like many of the readers of this letter, would be very familiar with the Roman armour. So he compared the spiritual protection that we need to the armour worn by these soldiers. Physical armour protects our body, as it did the Roman soldiers. And spiritual armour protects our mind, protects our heart, protects our faith, our identity, and it gives us spiritual stability. So let's go through each one. The first one is the belt of truth. Now, a soldier's belt apparently secured his tunic. The Roman soldiers had long, long tunics that went right down. And when they were going into battle, they used to pull it up between their legs and tie it round their waist to give them the freedom to run. And it kept everything together. And they would also have their weapons and tied into their belt as well. So it kept everything together. And he could fight effectively. Satan fights with lies. He fights with deception and confusion. He can make lies sound like the truth. We just need to go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. No, that won't do you any harm. Take the apple, eat it. He twists the truth round and he makes you believe what he says is right and to go against God. One of his main goals is to make us question the word of God. I'm sure I've been in that situation where somebody said to me about a verse in the Bible and I've thought, yeah, I know what you're saying there. And then I've had to go away back and think about it and realise and just take it in its context and realise what it's saying. So it is so easy for somebody to come and make you confused. So the belt of truth means knowing the truth of God's word. It means the truth of God's love and knowing the truth of the gospel. Because the truth is a powerful weapon against evil. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protected the soldier's organs, the front here and the back. And very often that's where our heart is attacked. The heart is the seat of our emotions and that's where we get attacked more often. We're thrown guilt and accusations. But God's righteousness is our breastplate that protects the heart and gives us God's approval. To live the right way, God's way, is the best way to undermine the devil. I've had somebody say to me, I've been watching you Christian people. I've seen the way you treat each other. I've seen the way you fight and argue and complain. If that's the way you carry on, I'm not becoming one of them. And that is very, very sad because it happens, you know. It happens in all churches. It happens in all Christian groups. We're human beings. We do have disagreements, and we understand that. But people looking out watching very often take things very differently from the way we take them. We've got to remember that people are looking at us all the time. D.L. Moody once said that we may be the only Bible our neighbours will read. That's quite sobering, isn't it? We may be the only Bible our neighbours will read. It makes you think about the way we live, the things we do, the things we say. Does it all match up with Scripture? Does it give doubt to our neighbours, to anybody looking in? We've got to be so, so careful. The next piece of armour is the shoes. We have to put on shoes that will make us go out and tell people the gospel. We have God's peace. We have the knowledge that Jesus died for us. He's given us his peace and that he will be with us no matter what we face. We've got to be ready to move. The Roman soldiers wore sandals that gave them stability in battle, so that they didn't slip, they didn't trip. It gave them the ability to stand and fight whatever came against them. And that's what we need. We need to be ready to move. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to share the gospel with others. Satan wants us to be apathetic. He wants us to think it's a hopeless task. Oh, don't go out there and speak to people about the gospel. Just stay at home. Stay at home, put your feet up. He wants us to think it's too big a task. Oh, you'll never be able to get through to all these people. He's delighted when we stay at home and say nothing. One of the translations of Romans 5:1 says, "Let the shoes on your feet be the gospel of peace to give you firm footing." Sorry, it's not Romans 5:1, it's Ephesians. "Let the shoes on your feet be the gospel of peace to give you firm footing." So we need to put on our feet something that gives us that motivation to get out there and fight so that we can tell people about the gospel of peace, because we're called to share the gospel with a hurting world. The next piece of armour is the shield of faith. The shield of the Roman soldier was made in such a way that they could all be locked together so that they could join together and form a wall in front of them, or they could join them together and put them above their heads like a roof. And apparently they soaked the leather in water, the shields in water, before battle, so that when the flaming arrows came on them, the water would put the fire out. It would extinguish the flames. And very often the flaming arrows that we experience are in the form of doubt, in the form of despair, worry, fear. The shield of faith trusts in the promises of God, even when we cannot see the outcome. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." So we need the shield of faith. In our daily life, faith means choosing to trust in God's word and remembering how faithful he's been to us in the past, even when our feelings tell us otherwise. There's times when I've been in situations and think, oh dear, I'm never going to get out of this. Why is this happening? And why do I bother? And then I think, you know, I don't know why I'm worrying, because God's never let me down in the past. He's always been there. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, it's okay. He's there. And I give myself a good talking to, and it makes me feel a bit better. But God is there. He's helped us in the past, and he will continue to help us in the future, even when we can't see it. The next piece of armour is the helmet of salvation. The helmet protected the soldier's head. Very often, the spiritual warfare starts in our head. We have fear, we have confusion, lies, we have destructive thoughts, we feel shame. Satan wants us to doubt the word of God and our salvation. But if we believe and have given our lives to Christ, we have hope. We have that hope that we will win because Jesus went to the cross to die for us. Scripture reminds us that we are forgiven, we're redeemed, we're chosen and secure in Jesus. Wearing the helmet of salvation says, no matter how dark everything seems, we have hope and eternal victory. The victory belongs to the people of God because you know what? The battle's already been won. Praise the Lord. He's already won the battle. Now, that's all the armor for defending us. The one piece of armor that's left that we can use for defense is the word, the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon in this list, and it refers to God's word, the Bible. Does anybody remember sword drill? When we were young, we used to do sword drill. Anybody do sword drill? No? No? The Bible was a sword. We would sit with it at our side, and the leader would say, draw your swords. You're laughing. Do you know what I'm saying? No? Draw your swords. And then they would give us a scripture normally of encouragement that we had to look up and read out and encourage each other. That's what we used to do in the Sunday school. It's quite good because it was quite a good way to learn scriptures as well and also encourage each other. Oh dear, I'm giving away my age now, eh? Jesus demonstrated how powerful scripture is. Remember the time he spent in the wilderness? Every temptation that was put in front of him, he quoted scripture. And that same scripture is available to us today. It exposes lies, defeats temptation, it strengthens faith, and reveals the truth. Hebrews 4 and 12 reminds us that the word of God is living and active, able to cut through lives and guide you into truth. So it's not enough to dip in and out of the Bible when we feel like it. We need to make a daily habit and memorize verses that we can recall when temptation comes. One of my verses that I go to is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I love God, and I know that no matter what happens, he's in control, and whatever it is, it's for my good, it's his will. So it's good to memorize scripture when you're in a situation and bring it back, and it just helps to bring you back down. Now, all these are fine, putting on the armor of God, but that's not any good if we don't pray. Paul goes on to speak about this, but that's another story. We'll be hearing about that later on. But he immediately brings us to the most powerful weapon of them all, prayer. And prayer keeps us connected to God. Without it, our armor is ineffective because believers lose their dependence on God if they don't pray. Prayer helps us to stay spiritually alert. It gives us strength, helps us to discern when we're being attacked, and helps us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Prayer is communion with God. Paul writes in verse 18 that we need to pray on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. How can we do this? In my Bible, it has a commentary on each verse underneath, and the commentary said, how can we pray on all occasions? One way is to make quick, brief prayers your habitual response to every situation you meet through the day. I tend to do that a lot, just quick prayers. Another way is to order your life around God's desires and teachings so that your very life becomes a prayer. So that's something else to think about. Our world today is filled with many distractions and attacks from the evil one. We face things like temptation through the media, confusion through false teaching, anxiety through uncertainty, pressure to compromise biblical truth. The devil is a powerful enemy, and to stand against him, we need to keep every weapon handy. But we must not forget that Jesus has already defeated him on the cross. I recently read, somebody said that the devil is like a chicken with its head cut off. He's running around like mad, but he's dead and he doesn't realize it yet. But he can still cause bother. He can still cause trouble. The armor of God is more necessary than ever to believers today. Without it, truth becomes compromised. Our faith will weaken. Believers will become vulnerable. So it's important that we learn how to apply our armor every day through prayer, scripture, and daily surrender to God. I want to read this passage from the message. It's going to come up on the screen. I think it's put very, very clearly and plainly. I think it's really good. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, they're more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. You can't get it any more plainer than that. The Christian life is not about living in fear of the enemy. It's about living confidently in victory. It's about living in the victory Jesus has already secured. So let's put on the whole armor of God every day. Our belt, breastplate, helmet, shoes, and remember the sword. Stay grounded in scripture. Memorize scripture. It will help. Remain prayerful. Walk in holiness and stand strong in Christ. Amen.